At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Moncrief on News Talk.
If you don't live in Dublin, you're probably sick of hearing about the new traffic arrangements for Dublin city centre, so apologies for the next bit. But the traffic arrangements are only part of a series of changes, including a thing called continuous footpaths. To explain exactly what that means, we're joined by the former Green MEP, Ciarán Cough. Ciarán, good afternoon to you.
Hi there, how are you?
Now, when you were in your Brussels days, they would have had these a lot there, would they?
Absolutely, all over Europe. Look, when you get to a junction in Brussels or most European cities, the pedestrian has the right of way. And quite often they simply extend the footpath all the way across the junction. Now, for some of you, that sounds like madness, but basically it's the norm elsewhere and it sends out a clear message that the pedestrian is at the top of the transport hierarchy and vehicles need to slow down. And I think that's no harm to get that message out there and to bring the lessons from the rest of Europe, from Brussels, from Copenhagen, from cities like Amsterdam, and to bring them home to Dublin.
Right. And so in terms of what it looks like, it's like kind of the path continues, but there's ramps on both sides. It's like a big speed bump.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe a gentler speed bump that goes on for a bit. It'll be the width of the footpath. Mm. So a few different things happen here. First of all, to the motorists driving along, to them, there's a little bit of uncertainty. And the first thing you do with uncertainty is you slow down. And secondly, because the footpath is continuous, it'll be at the same height as the rest of the footpath. So the pedestrian instantly is about 6 inches taller than they might normally be. So yeah, they're more visible. And the driver knows they have to slow down, negotiate the speed bump or the speed table. And the pedestrian knows that they have the right of way here. And I think that ensures that the pedestrian is at the top of the transport hierarchy, because for far too long, the car was king. I remember running for election over 30 years ago and saying that people are more important than cars in the city. And it's a lesson that's taken a while to learn, but certainly around the world, around Europe, people are saying, look, start with the pedestrian and people with disabilities, then move on to the cyclists, then public transport, then deliveries. And then finally, you get to the car user and you ensure that there's a bit of space for them as well. So really, it's about readjusting the hierarchy of who comes first in the transport, in the transport pyramid.
But if the path is continuous, then that's good news if you are pushing a buggy. Good news if you're a wheelchair user, because you're not being bumped up and down pavements.
Oh, I think it is. I mean, look, I spent years trying to get what we call dishing done in footpaths. In other words, make sure that it was easier to push a buggy or to wheel a wheelchair up and down from the footpath to the road. Now we're kind of turning that on its head and saying, look, the footpath should be at the same height everywhere and it should be the motorist who goes up and down as they go through a junction. And we know from the Road Safety Authority that junctions are where accidents happen. And anything we can do to slow down cars at these junctions, I think, makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, to me, it's a simple message for drivers. Take it handy. Use your common sense. Let the pedestrian pass. Let the cyclist pass. And then turn in when the road is clear.
And at these, whether there will be these continuous footpaths, will there be lights? I assume there'll be a sign, or maybe initially at least alerting drivers to hang on, there's a thing ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you could spend so much money on putting up signs everywhere in the city.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm a big fan of decluttering the amount of signs because I think they're a bit confusing and take away from using your common sense. There was a brilliant Dutch road engineer called Hans Mondelman, and he said, take away the signs and then everybody slows down because there's a little bit of uncertainty. Mm. And he went around the Netherlands taking out road signs telling you to speed up, no left turn, no right turn. And eventually people started looking at the environment instead of reading signs. So, I mean, one thing that they are doing at the same time, at some of these junctions where there's a traffic light, there'll be a flashing amber light saying, give way as you turn left if you're a motorist.
Yeah.
There's a few of those. There's one of them at a notorious black spot at the junction of Parkgate Street and Infirmary Road in Arbor Hill in the northwest inner city. But we'll see a few more of these around the city. So instead of blindly accelerating around corners, what will have to happen now is that you slow down and take your time. And there's a nice little video that the City Council has produced, and it kicks off by saying the safety of pedestrians is a high priority for the city. So it's great to see Dublin City Council saying the pedestrian is number one, because certainly 20 or 30 years ago, I didn't get that impression.
And how extensive are these going to be?
Well, I understand they're kicking off first on the Clontarf to City Centre cycle route, because they've completely redesigned that whole road out through Fairview, Ballybock, all the way out to Clontarf. So at many of the key junctions there, we're starting to see these raised footpaths. And really, as part of that, a public information campaign is ongoing. And I think David McRedmond wrote it up in the Journal yesterday. So the word is getting out. And Dublin City Council want people to know that they should exercise a bit of caution, both the driver and indeed the pedestrian at these junctions, because anything new takes a bit of getting used to.
Yeah. So I mean, it sounds like actually then they might lend themselves more readily to kind of suburban areas than necessarily the city centre?
I think they will. And I think particularly when the area off the side road is a residential neighbourhood, which generally has a 30-kilometre speed limit anyway, they would be well suited, almost as a way of marking that you're coming into a quieter area instead of the 50-kilometre speed limit. And look, to me, there's a wider issue here. I think we've lost a lot of what I'd call our outdoor freedom over the last few years. Researchers call this our independent spatial mobility, basically the ability to get around without being terrified of going out onto the street. I mean, you can call it what you like, but I'm sure many of our listeners have parents who are afraid of crossing the road because of traffic. We're afraid to let our kids walk to the shops or go to school on their own, and we're driving them. And this becomes a vicious circle because there's more people driving. So we need to break that circle and allow people to get around town, get around their communities by themselves. And I think little things like the continuous footpaths will help. I mean, there's lots of other things we could be doing. We could be narrowing junctions so that cars aren't racing around them. We could be putting in more zebra crossings, more area-wide traffic calming, as they call it. But every little helps. And I think this initiative from Dublin City Council is a good one. Around the country, I see other cities, other towns doing similar things in Kilkenny, in Clifton. There's a big move towards improving the public realm. I mean, these are fancy words, but basically it's about giving you a sense of freedom and a sense of being able to walk around your neighbourhood without being scared out of your wits by traffic.
Yeah. Ciarán, thanks for coming. Shall I read out some of the people disagreeing with you?
Sure. Go for it and I'll try and respond.
That's fair, but you want motorists to pay for everything.
No. I think we simply want to get the balance right on our roads. And we know that we're doing something wrong because road debts are up. They're up 25% last year, and it looks like 25% this year. It could be as many as 200 people losing their lives on the roads this year. We've already lost 20 pedestrians, 7 cyclists, 3 people on e-scooters. Anything we can do to slow down traffic in residential neighbourhoods can only be a good thing. And there's very little cost involved in this. It's simply when you're redoing a road or redoing a street, it's an opportunity to roll this out. Mm-hmm. And I think it's money well spent.
Yeah. Has he ever heard of majority rules? By volume, car first, delivery vehicle second, then buses, bicycles and pedestrians last.
Well,
that's why we gave them pedestrian lights, crossings, etc.
And that's a bit of a hot take. I mean, if you talk to the businesses in the city centre, they know that 80% of their customers are not coming in by car. So cars are in a minority in the city centre. Bus is the real people mover. We need to give priority to public transport, but also to pedestrians, who are as important as the motorist in terms of how much money is spent in the middle of Dublin.
Yeah, someone else says, once again, Kieran is comparing modern European cities rebuilt after World War II with the 800 euro layout of Dublin. Says Brian.
Belgium, Brussels, Copenhagen, Amsterdam, not overly rebuilt after World War II. I don't think Amsterdam suffered too much damage, or Brussels. Copenhagen, I don't think so. So I'm not really. I mean, some cities were bombed out of existence in World War II, and there are much wider streets and a bit more space that you can readily give to the cyclist and the pedestrian. But I think even if a street is narrow, we need to get that balance right. And look, even walking here today, Sean, from the Lewis on Dawson Street, I came down South King Street, which is wonderfully pedestrianised. But then I was hopping across that street, just around the corner. There wasn't a pedestrian crossing. There was a little handkerchief of a triangle in the middle of the road. I had to hop across the road and cars were bearing down on me. And the footpaths were really narrow. So I think rethinking some of the streets that we have is not a bad idea. And certainly giving the pedestrian their fair share of road space makes sense to me.
Someone else says, as a pedestrian, I'm more afraid of cyclists than car drivers.
It's a fair point.
Yeah,
and I think there's too many cyclists shooting down the footpath. One way of tackling this is to make sure that we've safe, segregated cycle lanes. Another way is to enforce the law. And I think we need both. I think we need the Garda, the Gardaí, to do their job. We need cyclists to show a bit of respect and cycle in the right places. But we also need to make sure that we have continuous bike lanes. The one going out to Clontarf will be brilliant. Some of the cycle lanes we have are, you know, much of a muchness, not so good. But we need to invest in cycling, in walking, and in making the city and our towns and villages better places to be, not just for residents, but for tourists as well.
Kieran, thanks a million for coming in to us. Kieran Cuff there from the Green Party.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.